have a good time tonight. Is that okay? Good. Lots of goods. In Jesus' name. Everyone say this with me. Say, revelation, not information. Revelation, not information. You ever listen to a preacher and it's just kind of dry and dull? Because you got information. But what our heart desires is revelation. Says in the Ephesian prayer, God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let's pray that tonight, amen. Father, as we come together, Father, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation on everyone here. Open our hearts, Father. Let the Holy Spirit, the teacher, be the one who shows us things to come. Shows us where this word is supposed to fit in our lives in Jesus' name. And Father, we say that we are hungry and we are expectant in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be talking about this tonight. Is it up there? Isn't that a cool graphic? If you're over 60, do you know what that says? Because sometimes it's too cool, right? It's almost like too, like, what is that? It says fear. We're going to talk about fear. And there's lots of, the Bible has a lot of different angles on fear, okay? And how many people know this scripture? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. We're not going to talk about that type of fear tonight. We're going to talk about other fear tonight. But when I was looking at fear, I found some... to me, okay, amusing fears. Now, it's 2022, so you have to give a disclaimer on everything, because everyone's so sensitive, okay? So if I name your fear and this is it, I'm not picking on you, okay? I think it's funny, but you don't have to, okay? So these are my things as far as fear. Everyone's so sensitive. I'm so offended. If I hear someone's offended, I feel like you're just trying to manipulate, and just stop it. The Bible says don't be touchy, fretful, or resentful. So stop it and get back in the spirit, okay? So offended. He offended me right on the first fear. So the first one I want to talk about that I think is funny is globophobia. Do you see that? The fear of balloons. Who knew that there was a fear of balloons? Globophobia. I will make a guess that most professional clowns do not have this fear, okay? Globophobia. Next one, omphalophobia, the fear of belly buttons, right? That must be tormenting, right? But again, we are pretty sure that Adam and Eve did not suffer from this one. Think, you guys, think. Right? What does a belly button come from? That's mom's umbilical cord feeding you, okay? All right, the next one, leononophobia. It's the fear of string. Oh, how tormenting. String, it's everywhere. It's on your shoes. It's everywhere. But I believe therapy involves adding more Velcro to your life, okay? That's how you get over the fear of string. You just do that. And then... ergophobia, the fear of work, the fear of work. This one was huge during COVID as they paid everyone to stay home and not work, okay? People developed this ergophobia because Uncle Sam was giving them more money to stay home than to work, okay? So there's a fear for everything, right? If you look, there's a fear of hair. There's a fear of not having hair. Like, there's a fear of everything. So fear is everywhere. Now, I believe that some people clearly need more fear, okay? Like this, Rebecca, you with me? Are you on my overhead? Okay, so this first video, check out this person. Imagine being this guy's mother. He's on a railing on a bridge on a BMX. On a railing. This kid needs more fear, okay? Obviously. Because sometimes when you don't, so fear can also protect you if you're if you're wise about it. But to me, that's like, that's one wrong move, that's one strong wind, that's just one something that's not in your calculation, and you risked your life for that, you know? So that's a little scary. And there is, you guys, there is healthy fear, believe it or not. When you have a child, a healthy fear is something that keeps you alive, okay? And so when you have a child, and there's a hot stove, and it looks orange and beautiful, and your child goes to like put their hand on it, and you know that would just burn their skin and cause terrible damage, you tell them no, or you know, if you're a parent, you might yell, no, you know, like, don't do that. And then, so you take the kid's hand, and you put it near it, and you try to show him that that's dangerous. That's powerful. So when you're dealing with power, you need to be respectful of that fear. Same thing with electricity. It you know, when you were younger, you ever stick a fork or something in a socket and you get a zap, you know? That little zap is a reminder that this could kill you, okay? Don't do that. Or if your basement floods, be careful of electricity before you jump down there and try to do something, okay? You need to be respectful. A fearful respect will keep you alive. I would even say this, a fearful respect for fast-moving vehicles. You know, you tell your kids, don't play in the streets. You know, don't do that. You know, it isn't a fear like they don't have a phobia. They have a respect for this vehicle that is much more powerful than them that could kill them. It actually keeps you alive. So there is a healthy fear. And what you do is you respect the power of the heat, you respect the electricity, you respect the massive force that comes with vehicles. And again, that's a healthy fear. Now, there is a spiritual fear that is healthy as well. And remember, we started with that scripture, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And so even in the spirit, there's a spiritual fear that is healthy. And if we look here in Psalm 33:8, it says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the fear of the Lord tonight. The fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is an awesome balanced type of message. When you have a healthy fear of God, you have a healthy reverence for the power and the awesomeness of God. Let all the earth stand in awe of him, okay? Because he is all powerful. He is the creator, okay? And like some people who aren't saved, they'll say things like, "Hey, I was talking to the man upstairs," right? Just like this real kind of flippant, you know, type of thing. To me, I don't see the fear of God in that attitude. There's no awesomeness about it. He's the guy upstairs, you know what I mean? But it just shows me that they don't know him. Because if you knew God, you know what I mean? Like Isaiah had a vision, and he was brought to the throne of God, and he immediately cried out, "Oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips." When you come into the holiness of God, you look at yourself as like, I'm not worthy to be here. So when someone's like, "Hey, I'm talking to the man upstairs," you know, it's just like, you don't know him, because there's no fear of God in your voice. And when you know him, there's a respect for that power. I like that scripture. It's still here. Let all the earth fear the Lord. How many should fear the Lord? All the earth should fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Do you guys stand in awe of him? I do. Oh my goodness, you're amazing. Thankful. So God is the creator of everything. He is the creator of everything. He created man and breathed life into him. And God could, if he wanted to, wipe out man with a wipe of his hand. He's all powerful. He's massive. He is the life in the universe. Okay? And if you look at it, God kind of already did do that. Okay? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read a little scripture here. It says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Can you imagine that, you guys? Before I knew Jesus, I hung out with people like this. That every inclination of their thoughts, of their human thoughts, was only evil all the time. Okay? And maybe I was that way a little too. That we constantly, you know, you're caught in a bondage of sin, so your thought life is just wickedness continually. And so that's what God saw on the earth. And these are the people he created. He created mankind so that they would fellowship in the cool of the day in the garden. He didn't create angels. He didn't create seraphim. He didn't create the other living creatures. He created someone who was in his image, a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, that would come, and he made them the God of this world. And God would go down in the cool of the day, and they would fellowship together, okay? So that's pretty special. And then that creature ends up that every inclination of their thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created. Listen, guys, he's God. If he wants to wipe the human beings off the face of the earth, he can do it, because he's the creator. He made you, and he can make you go away, okay? We need to have a fear of the Lord. We need to be reverently in awe of the power of our God, which is amazing. I will wipe the face of the earth, the human race that I have created, and with them the animals and birds and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah feared God. We look here in the scripture, Proverbs 8:13, it says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. That was Noah. Noah, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And Noah was a righteous man, blameless among all the people, and he walked faithfully with God. He had a reverent fear of his God, and it showed up in how he lived his life, okay? And in this story, him and his family were the only ones who made it, okay? When the power and the wrath of God came and visited man, no one survived. No one survived. Yeah, the man upstairs. No. Shh. There's people who are flippant with God, and I just take a step away. I'm just like, ooh, you know. Because you can't mess with that for too long, right? You can't mess. You're on borrowed time, okay, with that type of behavior. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. But we do find sinners, those without God, they don't have a fear of the Lord, okay? Hopefully, I pray that the church has the fear of the Lord, a healthy reverence of his power, right? It's not a fear like, oh, you know, I'm an abused child. No, that's not it at all. It's like, oh, you are awesome. You're everything. You're awesome. I'm breathless. I have no speech. I can't in your presence, God. There's just a reverence of who you really are. Okay, but sinners are not like that. They don't have the fear of the Lord. Psalm 36:1 says this: I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. If you back up in that, it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And where there is no fear, there is no reverence. And the Bible says there's a lifestyle of sin that follows, okay? That's the natural reaction when you don't have a fear of God. Now, what kind of saddens my heart, right? I'm a fan of the nerd. I'm a fan of the scientist. I'm a fan of the smart person. I'm a fan of anyone who is like, you know, some people are more brilliant in their minds than they are sometimes socially, or they are with sports and athletics and that type of stuff. They just excel in their minds. I'm a fan of people like that. But they're brilliant, right? But oftentimes we find that same group of people who are resistant to God, right? So in their mind, they're like, I can't see God. I can't feel God. You know, God doesn't exist. They, you know, so smart people, certain scientists, things like that, they make these bold statements. No, there is no God, right? And so in their brilliance, they become fools. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You imagine to be so smart that you're actually a fool. When we were at the conference in Louisiana this past week, one of the guy who did breakout speakers was a neuroscientist, okay? He's done over 10,000 brain surgeries, brain and spine surgeries. And he loved the Holy Ghost. He loved the Holy Spirit. He was the first one up front dancing. He was the first one up front, you know, running around the church, doing things like that. Because here's the thing, we're created on three, we're a three-part being. We have a spirit, which is the real us. We have a soul, and we live in a body, okay? But it's your spirit, man, that these people reject. Anything to do with the spirit, okay? Because you can't measure it in a test tube and you can't hold up a meter to it and get a reading, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that it's not real. So what they do is they only fire on two parts of their whole being, but they're bankrupt in their spirit, okay? They don't have that. But just so you know, there was a neurosurgeon dancing in the Lord, speaking in tongues, doing all that. There's hope, right? There's hope for people like this. They don't all have to be fools and say there is no God. So they're weak spiritually. They're weak. So they come off as, you know, I'm powerful, I'm whatever, but they're just weak, okay? The smallest Christian is stronger than anyone like that because of what's happened in their spirit. So in the Bible, we do see some who have gotten into trouble without a fear of God. Nebuchadnezzar is one of those. God set up a worldly king to go ahead and bring punishment on Israel, to take Israel and to bring them into captivity because of their lack of fear for God, okay, that they lost their inheritance, they lost everything. God raises up a king, Nebuchadnezzar. He says that Nebuchadnezzar is my servant, okay, to do his will, and he is doing his will. And so Nebuchadnezzar gets a little prideful, and so God gives him a dream. And then in this dream, Daniel comes and interprets the dream for the king. So God's warning Nebuchadnezzar. God's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, even though he's just a worldly king. He isn't without warning. And so we look here in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel says this to him. He says, King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. So remember, when you stop sinning, it's a sign that you have the fear of the Lord, okay? So he's basically saying, fear the Lord, stop sinning, and live right. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of his royal palace in Babylon. As he looked across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majesty and splendor. Now, we know because of the verses of the Bible in Daniel that God set up Nebuchadnezzar, that God was the one who caused him to prosper, to have victory over all his enemies. So all of this was the hand of God. And who's taking all the credit? The king. I did this. Be careful, guys, of taking credit, you know, for yourself. We are blessed, blessed, blessed. We are people who have the blessing of God on us. Doors of favor open unto us. Things happen by the hand of God. All that, if you have half an eye and a little sense, you see the hand of God on your life. And just be like, oh, God. There's a scripture that says, God, it was not our might and strength that has given us this victory, but it was your favor that gave us the victory. So remember that it isn't your might and strength, it's God's favor on your life, and we need to be thankful with that. And so King Nebuchadnezzar goes off and brags about all he has done. So check this out. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow and was drenched with the dew of heaven, and he lived this way until his hair was long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird claws. Okay? So he went from king of everything to not acknowledging the God of heaven to being like a wild beast in the field, chained up without his right mind. Okay? Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. See, when men curse God, curse you, God. Like, are you serious? Like, really? You're doing that? Like, the God who created everything? The God who could pull your breath out if he wanted to in a moment? Like man curses God? It's like, oh, God, please, you know, help them. Now, in the Bible, Herod in the New Testament was another one. Now, Herod was, if you understand... So Jerusalem had a king, okay? And then Rome comes in and conquers Jerusalem. But to keep some semblance of order, they keep Herod or Herod's family in the throne. So you have Rome, which is the real rulers of Jerusalem, but you have Herod as the figurehead, and he had some guards and stuff. And if you see the crucifixion of Jesus on the night he was betrayed, that he wasn't just taken by the Jews, they brought him before Herod too. And then he goes from Herod back to Pilate, okay? So Herod was, he was a real king. He just didn't have all his power because Rome was there, but he was a king, okay? He was someone in authority. Acts 12 says this, Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, and asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on the throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of God and not a man. The voice of God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. So I don't know exactly what eaten by worms are, but don't sign me up for that one, okay? Because it sounds terrible, okay? But it says the angel of the Lord struck him, right? So he's up there taking this praise and not giving the credit to God, right? They say, you're the voice of a God, the voice of a God, right? And so like an angel popped him. Right, and that was it. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, Israel would go out to fight. God said, "You're not going to fight this battle. I will fight the battle for you. Put the praisers in front. Declare my mercy and goodness." And the Bible says that an angel would go out at night and slay every one of the enemy. And they'd wake up in the morning, and there was just dead bodies. And it would take 3 days to pick all the spoil off them. Right. Ooh, child. So I've seen some stuff even in our modern day, right? Where I hear men like curse God, and I take note of it, and I say, wrong move. that is the beginning of your end, right? When I hear that, it's like, uh-oh. Here's why, because I have a fear of God, right? I have a fear of his awesomeness. I'm not afraid of my God. I come boldly into the throne of grace. I have a love relationship with my Father that is intimate. There's no separation in the intimacy because God is our Father. He's our Abba Father, Daddy. But as far as I still know this is the God of all creation. And we are not going to be puffed up. We are not going to take his glory and call it ours. We're not going to steal his money. The Bible says, would a man rob God? Everyone who does not tithe and knows better robs God. Wrong person to rob. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, if you're in a bad neighborhood, you know the people not to stick up, right? If you're in a mafia neighborhood, you don't go to the top guy and go, give me a wallet, right? You are dead. You're dead. You're not going to live past the next day, right? I think the same thing. Why would anyone rob God? Are you serious? No, wrong person, right? But in our modern day, there are people who do things. And let's show this first one, the mayor one. Do you guys remember this one? When I heard this, I said, it's over. It's over. Watch this clip. Play it.
Tomorrow. It is directly a result of what you do today. The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering.
When I heard that, I said, why would you go there? What you guys remember the beginning of COVID? Everyone's scared. Hospitals don't know how to treat people. People are dying. You know, it's not the same now, but it was then. And so everyone was praying. Everyone was praying. The church was praying. We were believing God. And then he comes on and it's like, we did this. God didn't do it. I'm just like, that's the beginning of your end. I don't know how this is going to end. And how many people know he's not the governor no more? No, he's in a lot of trouble, and it hit his brother and everything. It's just like, ugh. So someone says, Pastor Mike, you have to see this video. Check out this video, right? So someone's showing me the video, and it gets to a certain point.
I don't mean to brag.
No, stop. What are you doing? So this it's a tiny bit PG-13, right? But if you let your kids on TikTok or anything, they're like in rated X stuff anyway, so this is nothing. So just check this out, you guys, okay? So, and stop it where you're supposed to stop it. Okay, so check out this one.
I don't mean to brag, I don't care, but I want you to know, double vaxxed, booster, flu shot, and I'm gonna be honest, I have the shingle shot too. And I still get my period. What? Yes! Traveled, went to Mexico twice, did shows, meet and greets, never got COVID. Clearly, Jesus loves me the most.
All right, so when I heard that, I'm like, you didn't just go there, did you? Mocking, Jesus loves me the most, right? So here's the thing, like a lot of the church, you know, doesn't want to take the shots and this and that. And she's like, I got every shot. You know, Jesus loves me, right? You know, just in this mocking tone. Do you remember what the Bible said about Herod and the angel of the Lord struck him? Okay, keep going.
Seriously. So nice. So nice.
Just watch. They don't know what's going on. She fractured her skull, guys. Actually, back that up, play it again. No. I want to hear her say it. I don't want to see when the angel struck her brain. I want to see.
And I still get my period. What? Yes. Traveled, went to Mexico twice, did shows, meet and greets, never got COVID. Clearly, Jesus loves me the most. Seriously. So nice.
There are those who do not fear the Lord. I hope she does. I hope she does. So the last one I want to show you is so there's this comedian and he was actually a former Pentecostal preacher. So he was like a man of God, preached the word of God, and then turns away from God, which is one thing, which is bad, but in his comedy act, he has this whole routine where he brings Jesus into the comedy, and it's not good. I'm going to show you a little clip, because most of it, the language is just so like foul, like you couldn't show it in church, okay? But just show that one.
I don't know if Jesus has actually spoken in an audible voice to anybody in about 2,000 years. I think his last words may have been.
And more. It's just like, so Jesus like became part of his comedy routine, from preacher to the mocking of Jesus. And so he becomes really big, early 90s. He gets married, goes on his honeymoon. Coming back from his honeymoon, he's going to a sold-out comedy show in Vegas, or right outside of Vegas, and a 17-year-old kid in a pickup truck hits him head-on in his car. And so I'm gonna read real quick. This is from the Los Angeles Times, 1992. It says, after the crash, which occurred near Needles, California, Kinnison at first appeared fine. His name is Sam Kinnison, said friends who watched the crash from a second car. With only minor cuts on his lips and forehead, he wrenched himself free from his mangled vehicle and lay down only after friends begged him to do so. He said, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, recounted Carl Lebov, Kinnison's longtime opening act, who held Kinnison's bleeding head in his hands. Kinnison paused. But why? Asked Kinnison, a former Pentecostal preacher. It sounded, Lebov said, as if he was having a conversation, talking to somebody else. He was talking upstairs. Then I heard him say, okay, 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 okay. And then he died. So there's a scripture. I'm just remembering it now. It says that Paul said that I am giving, because of your sin, I'm giving your body over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh so that there would be the saving of your soul. Some people are so far gone that if they continue in that, their very soul would be gone. Some people say, once saved, always saved. For some reason, I keep on bumping into the book of Revelation. I will remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. If you don't repent, if you don't do these things, I will smite your name out. If you count the blood of Jesus as none effect, there is no repentance for you. Do I understand all those scriptures? No. But do I know they're in there? Yes. Am I going to mess with the fear of God in those things? No. No, I don't even want to go close to that line. So maybe in the mercy of God, this guy was doing so much damage to the name of Jesus that, boom, the kid was drunk, hits him head on, and God said, no, Sam, you're coming home. Because if you keep going, it might be forever. It might be forever. One of the roles of God is he is a righteous judge. And we need to have, so as far as the fear of God, we always need to have eternity in mind. that there will be a day where man stands before God and gives an account for his life before the righteous judge. Even people who don't know God, they think their life is theirs to do what they want. Your life is a gift. God gave you a gift. He allows you as a steward to do something positive, to give it back to him. But some of us, we just waste our lives in sin and recklessness, even Christians, sin and recklessness, not knowing that we're going to have to, like when you die, everyone comes back to God and you give an account. What did you do in this life? The scripture says this in 2 Corinthians, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." We must have a healthy fear of God, knowing that we will stand before him one day and give an account of everything that we have done. Amen. That sobering fact should order our steps today. Amen. Not in a weird, oppressed way, but in a way that, hey, if there's a fence where, like, this is the world, here's the fence, and here's the kingdom, let's just, like, stay way over in the kingdom side and not play with the fence, not play with sin, not play with things that we can do that, because when you don't have a fear of sin, you don't have a fear of God. A healthy fear of God is a fear of sin, to turn away from sin. Most, not all, but most people that I've seen, even as Christians who have been brought down from great heights to very low things, have some type of situation where they've turned away their heart from God and gotten into some type of trouble, some type of sin, you know, that only comes out later. Okay, but out of God's mercy, he rescues people from going too far, from doing those things. Who has a fear of God? Hey, that's my prayer, you guys. If you came in here without the fear of God, that you would leave here with a healthy reverence of the power of our God. Amen? He will not be mocked. He will not be mistreated. We will not take his glory and say that it was us. Amen? He will be exalted. He will be praised. He will be worshiped because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He is worthy of it a million times over. He is worthy of all of our praise. It is by his grace that we are saved and not of ourselves. Amen. We are so fortunate that while we were yet sinners, he called us. He called us. This is something you will never hear in heaven. I am here because I did. There's no story like that in heaven. I am here because of the shed blood of the Lamb that washed me, made me clean, made me a new creation in Christ Jesus, made me one with the Father. Amen. That's our story. Healthy, reverent, balancing fear, amen, of God. And I think when the church has that, oh my goodness, the power of God manifests. We're not a cowering church with God. We are laborers together with him in a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, if you've seen this and you have unsaved family, with renewed vigor, get their attention and say, this doesn't last forever. This little rebellion, you know, thing you're on, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. We're doing something on Easter, and it's gonna be very dramatic. There's gonna be a performance part of it, and it is all aimed at the message of salvation through eternity, the message of salvation. Bring the hardest sinner you know, the worst one in your family, absolutely. Bring people who don't like church, who don't like anything, the preacher just wants my money. Those are the people you bring. Those are the people to bring on Easter, amen? Really, listen, have eternity in your mind. Think of people, invite them, amen? They will be blessed if they come. I guarantee they will be blessed if they come in Jesus' name. Listen, you guys, my wife and I want to pray with you guys. We want to lay hands on you. We want to just flow in the Holy Spirit tonight, you guys. So we're gonna continue to worship, but I'm gonna ask you guys to come forward. Hey, we had the lights on all night. It's all bright. Yes, please. How about less bright? And I'm going to invite you guys to come down. If you guys want to come and meet our awesome God, just come down and let's worship together, you guys. Let's come and worship. Amen. If you feel a little uncomfortable with that, do it uncomfortably. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's worship. Let's worship the awesome God. Hallelujah. Come on down, you guys. Just invite you down. Come on down. Let's gather around. So this is what I want you to imagine in your minds, okay? Do this with me. That we're gathered around the throne of God. Amen? So let's just say God brought us before Judgment Day. We're the sea of saints. Amen? We're the sea of the saints before the Lord. Let's just worship him like that. Amen?